This is the moment many wait for.
The most entertaining.
A man of wisdom. A man of experience, Dave.
The most informative.
To bring light to a dark subject. To bring positivity to a negative world.
The incredible Paul Moyer.
Moyer out, you losers.
Moyer out, you losers. Love it, love it. We look forward to this conversation each and every week, and he is here once again with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. He is the voice of reason, the one, the only Paul Moyer here with us. Hello, Paul.
Well, hello there, and hey, Brady, good to have you on the show. I would expect this time of the year you'd be golfing a little bit more, but...
Yeah, it's a little rainy out today, so I decided to actually work.
Smart.
Yeah, and Brady's one of those guys who will go out in a torrential downpour. He's a hardcore golfer, man. This guy doesn't mess around. So, you know, it's got to be uncomfortable if he's saying, nah, I'm not going to do it today.
But still got to get out there at some point, Paul.
I know. But just letting you know, Brady, I am fair weathered. Okay. I mean, there's got to be a little blue sky there or no rain. I just...
Does it need to be upper 60s at least? Is it a temperature? Is there a mandate there?
Yeah, that helps too. I just bought a house in Texas. My kids live down there, so my wife will be down there quite a bit. And one of the things that's nice is, you know, it's 60, 70 degrees when it's, you know, 30 here. And God, how the body adjusts to it. It's so much easier to golf down in Palm Springs or in Texas than it is up here till about July. So yes, my body needs some warmth and sun.
As most of ours do. I'm with you on that one. Yes. Hey, before we get into, you know, some Seahawks conversation here, I got to get your take because we talk about it each and every week. You're a massive Mariner fan, you and your group of friends on the text that excludes Dave Wyman. But where are you at? We're only seven games in, so, you know, a lot of people have already jumped off the bridge at this point. But what is your feeling after seven games into the season?
Well, yes, I've had to talk my guys off the ledge, and, you know, nothing's changed. It's exactly like last year, same amount of, you know, strikeouts. That's not going to continue. And, you know, what's killed us, it's just our top three hitters. I mean, the other guys can struggle a little bit, but when you have, you know, J.P. Crawford hitting 115, Polanco hitting, 154, Julio 185, all of them, their on-base percentages are below 250. I mean, you're just not going to win, you know, and obviously our pitching hasn't been as stellar as it was in the past. We're going to be okay. It's seven games. I don't know what we, in football terms, if we even we're still in preseason, I think, if we do the math on that. It's just, it's frustrating, but we're only 3-4. I think, you know, we're what, a game back? We're okay. And I think actually getting on the road, you got Scott Service coming up here after, right?
Yeah, 3:45.
I think actually getting on the road is so beneficial for this team. You know, just go back, let's go bond. It's just us, you know, we don't need all this pressure right now, and let's go have fun. And they did it last year. There's times where they broke some of their streaks when they went on the road. So hopefully that's the case when they get started against Milwaukee.
See, the voice of reason, Brady. See?
There we go. All need it.
No panic, saying everything's going to be fine. Got 155 games to go. Let's pace ourselves. I don't begrudge anybody for being disappointed, being upset. I was there watching. I was not too pleased by any stretch of the imagination. It was not pretty, but you got a lot of baseball to go, man. So you got to pace yourselves. All right. As far as the Seahawks go, Paul, where are you at with just in general? We'll get into some of the specifics of what they've done, but just how do you size up the offseason? You happy? Are you optimistic? Are you curious? Like, oh, how come they did this or didn't do that? Where are you sitting right now?
Well, I thought John Schneider's was on your guys' show. I mean, a lot of the stuff I pulled.
He only speaks to us.
Yes, and he's on at 4 o'clock today too. What, you got Service right after, and then you got John Schneider too?
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting in how the whole free agency thing played out, and Leonard Williams, you know, obviously was the linchpin in that whole deal, but that they really had to wait. I didn't know some of the mechanics of that. I think they would have loved to have had Jordan Brooks back. But I also read between the lines on some of this too. And when you look at the guys that we got, and, you know, I was just looking at, you know, Jerome Baker and obviously Tyrell Dotson. And one of the things about Tyrell was all of them have to be able to cover in this game, and they all have to be able to blitz. And one of the things about Tyrell Dotson, he has a 27% pressure rate, success rate on blitzes. And, you know, I didn't see that, you know, and so they see something there. I've already mentioned, I think Tyrell Dotson, just his coverage ability is a huge upgrade for us in that linebacker spot. And it's just, it can't be understated how much that hurt us last year. And so I think when I look at all the things they've done, look at safety. I mean, right now you got safeties of Julian Love, Kobe Bryant. You've got Rayshon Jenkins. You got Kayvon Wallace and Jarek Reed. I mean, those five guys can play a lot of different positions, you know, that you can interchange along the way. So I just think what they've done so far is they've added a lot of depth. They've put people in their scheme that they think will be successful. And they still got work to do. But the guys they've signed, I like what we've done defensively.
Well, Paul, let's stick with that position you just mentioned, the position you played in the NFL for a number of years, safety. What do you think of Rayshon Jenkins there in the switch from Quandre Diggs to Jenkins?
Well, I think this one needs to play out because I don't know who – I know they've got Rayshon Jenkins on the depth chart listed at number one, and then they got Wallace number two and then Jarek Reed number three. I like Jarek Reed. We'll see how he comes back from his knee injury. But I think he can play. He can cover. You know, the one thing about Diggs last year, man, he just missed too many tackles for me. And some of the big plays, you remember the 70-some-yard run that the 49ers did, the opening play. Man, a lot of that was on Diggs. And there's, you know, I always say big plays given up is absolutely in the secondary, and particularly the safeties, because they're the last line of defense. And I just thought for the amount of money that we're paying them, you know, we may be able to find some guys and build the team better. So I think that safety spot, free safety, is going to be up for grabs. And let it play out. Whoever the best player is, you know, could be Wallace, could be Reed, could be Jenkins. But they've got lots of depth there. And for that, I think that's good.
On the other side of the ball, Paul, I'm curious for your take on how much you think the offensive struggles last year, for everything that went wrong. How much do you think of that started with the offensive line, and what do you think of the moves they've made there so far? Obviously, they're not done making moves there, but what do you think of that position and how they played last year?
Well, I think injuries, you know, Abe Lucas definitely hurt us. You know, we had to do things to keep tight ends in and probably call plays that, you know, didn't let us extend the downfield as much as they did 2 years ago. So I think obviously health's important. You know, as far as the offensive line, I went to the depth chart on your old group there, ESPN. We don't even have a left guard at depth chart. It's not even in there. They just have 10 positions right now, which is kind of odd to me as well. So we've got work there to do, but if we can pick up somebody in the first round there, I for me, and I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this, but if they could somehow get Troy Fontenot, who I think his feet are spectacular, he can absolutely play offensive tackle in this league. I'd move Abe Lucas inside the guard. And the reason why is if you could get, again, Fontenot, I think he's so gifted with his feet and from an athlete standpoint. And one thing about Abe is Abe's a mauler, man. When he gets on somebody, particularly when he blocks down, I mean, he moves people. Now, I don't know if you would move Bradford left guard. And again, this is pure speculation, and I'm just throwing it out there. But I think there's some pieces there that you would feel pretty good with Fontenot. And then you could always try him at guard, too. I was listening to his interview. Smart guy. I mean, just, you know, again, we'll see if he's there, and that's the type of player we're going to get. But we're going to have to get somebody in the draft because right now we're really thin in the interior line.
Paul, as far as the defense goes, and as they're currently constructed, and then obviously they're going to add pieces, you would assume, whether it's you know, this second phase of free agency and or the draft. Do you look at it and go, this is a better defense than last year? Now, we don't know what it's going to look like under the new head coach. It could be a completely different situation. But just talent-wise, do you feel like they're going into battle, so to speak, better armed than they were last year?
Well, I think we're definitely deeper in what we want to accomplish. You know, Brady, you're not on the show on Thursdays every week with us, but I've been complaining about our linebacker play for about 5 years. It's frustrating for me. And so I think we've addressed those issues. The way the game is played today, you have to be able to cover at linebacker, particularly if you're going to be on the field 80, 90% of the snaps. You have to be able to cover. You have to be able to blitz at times. And I think we had guys who could blitz, certainly Jordan and Bobby, but the coverage part was lacking. And Jordan was okay. He was improving. I think he's going to be a very good player. I mean, he is a good player. I think losing him was a bummer. But I think what you saw by us getting Tyrell Dotson and Jerome Baker, these guys can cover. Now, they're smaller. I want to say Dotson might be 235, and maybe Baker is, boy, I don't know. He might be even smaller. They're giving up, you know, 15, 20 pounds to what Brooks and Wagner were doing. But that just tells me what's important to Coach McDonald, and that is we got to have guys who can cover, you know, not just linebackers and running backs, but also be able to blitz. So I'm excited about that. I think there's a lot of depth there. We'll add to the linebacker spot. I think our defensive line's pretty well set, though, you know, we could probably add another nose tackle in that mix. But what we have to count on, and this is where, you know, talking with some people out there where they get frustrated, why don't we have more guys we signed in free agency? Because you have to count on guys like Mike Morris and Cameron Young, these young guys, to take the next step. You can't just keep getting free agents. And I just think we have a really nice mix right now with some veterans, some youth guys that we need to develop.
Yeah, that's a good point about Mike Morris. He's kind of easy to forget about him because he spent almost all of last year on IR, but he was a guy as a fifth-round pick who they expected to play right away, and I think he would have had he not hurt his shoulder. But, Paul, just the way I look at the way the defense has performed the last few years, it's hard for me to reconcile the talent that they've had versus the results that they've had. And it seems like they should have been a lot better than what the results were just based on the personnel they had. And it makes me think they just weren't getting enough out of the scheme. The scheme was not giving them as much of an advantage as other teams were getting. And I'm curious what you think, it's kind of a two-part question, what you think stylistically the defense will look like and what kind of an advantage do you think it could give them that they haven't necessarily had?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I think we're going to find out, Brady, was it coaching, right? And the one thing, the common theme over the last 5 years, other than one, is for the most part, we played the same scheme. Now, I know we went from a 4-3 from a 4-3 to a 3-4, but philosophy was somewhat the same. The other same was the linebackers, you know, and for as long as I can remember, the middle of the field is just, I've wanted to pull my hair out. I just could not understand why they don't teach how to read pattern recognition, how to look up receivers. You know, zone is a zone, but you still crowd guys, right? It's kind of a man zone. And then, yes, you can pass things off. We didn't do that. We were spot droppers. We started to do a little bit more matchup towards the end of the year. But at that point, it's too late, right? You're kind of saying, well, let's try this. And I've also gone from where we were a 3-4 defense and went to a 4-3, we went from a 3-4 to a 4-3 defense when I was a player. Man, that took about a year to really adjust to it, where you knew all the nuances of the game. So I think, one, this will be our third year, I think, in a 3-4. I think what Coach McDonald brings to the table, we are going to be so much better in the passing game. Now, the players got to get it done, right? I mean, that part is it. But I think scheme-wise, from what I watched in Baltimore, I don't think I'm going to have a lot of complaints like I've had the last 5 years.
Do you think a 3-4 is a better scheme for the personnel that they have?
Yeah, that's a good question too. I think right now it is. And the only reason why I say that is I'm just looking at depth. I mean, you go to a 4-3, you got to go add a bunch of, defensive linemen. They're harder to find. You know, it's hard to find, 6'3", 300-pound guys who can get off the football. It's a little easier to go find linebackers who are at 250 that can get on the edge. But I also think the thing I love about a 3-4 defense, not as much against the run, but as far as versatility against the pass, it's so much better. Just because you don't know where guys are coming from to blitz. You don't know who's going to be in coverage, how people are going to drop down. You've got four potential guys who can actually cover at linebacker. You just can do much more in a blitz package as well. So, yes, I like it for that. But if we can't stop the run, you may have to do more of a hybrid and, drop an extra lineman in there to get some size. But I think for now, yeah, the 3-4 defense is a better scheme for us with our personnel.
Paul, I'm sure I asked you this before, but do you look at the mock drafts at all? Any interest to you? Because I love looking at the different just opinions and just seeing how they vary from, analyst to analyst and things like that. But in looking at them, often they've got, Fautanu is the guy that a lot of mocks have going to the Seahawks. But I've seen a lot of edge rushers as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how you feel about this team's pass rush as it sits right now. Is that an area you look at and go, we're good, or no, we could definitely use some help there?
Well, I think you're always, you can't have enough of those guys. You know that. But we get, Uchenna Nwosu back. And when he was healthy, we did have a better pass rush. I think Boye Mafe has proved that, he's going to be a player. Darryl Taylor, when we give him the opportunity to rush, he's been an 8-9 sack guy. So those are good. And, obviously you got Leonard Williams, Draymond Jones. I think Draymond Jones is the wild card in this, because I do not think we played him right last year, and I'm curious to see how, Coach McDonald uses him. And the one thing that I liked about Draymond Jones when he was coming from Denver is they moved him around. I mean, he was up at times. He went over the center, the guard, he was on the edge. So he has some versatility there. So I think we're going to have a really cool pass rush. It's not going to come from one guy. That's what, Coach or John Schneider and McDonald said. It's going to be from a group. We have a scheme. We're not expecting to get you free all the time. We're trying to get you one-on-one matchups, and we're counting on you guys winning those matchups. And sometimes that's all it really needs to be. Some guys go, I got blocked. Well, don't be blocked, right? I got a mismatch for you. I got you on a running back and you're a linebacker. Maybe I got Draymond Jones because of the way we did our alignment, and they have to slide, and all of a sudden a running back has to pick up Draymond Jones. If those are the cases, you guys have to win. And that's, I love that philosophy. So yes, I think we're going to be much improved defensively. I think we have the players to get it done, and I'm really excited to see what we do with this game.
Hey, Paul, based on our conversation with Mike McDonald at the owners' meetings a couple weeks ago, sounds like they're going to be more open to moving their cornerbacks around and having them travel with, certain number one receivers, more so than Pete Carroll did, which we basically never saw that. I think maybe Richard Sherman did it once or twice a decade ago, but by and large, the old coaching staff would keep their cornerbacks to one side of the field. I'm curious what your thought is on the possibility of them doing that with Devin Witherspoon, and then just what are your expectations for him in year two?
Yeah, well, Witherspoon can do anything. Whether he plays nickel or he's outside and you want to match him up against one of the best receivers. I think he's a phenomenal player. His upside is just going to keep rising, and you've got a guy like him. And again, this is where Coach McDonald comes into play. They're going to put him in position to blitz and make big plays. And we already seen what he's capable of doing there. I think, Tyreek as well, or Reek, excuse me, I think he'll have a bounce back year. And the part why I think he'll be a bounce back year is what you just said about Coach McDonald. You go ahead and put him on the wide side of the field. You know, you go ahead and say, hey, we're going to pin that guy to the sideline. I have never understood why you wouldn't move corners. It's really between offensive, you know, line and corners are the only positions that nobody moves. Why? Why would you not move? The receivers move for a reason. And why are they moving? They're moving to get the best matchup. Well, why wouldn't you match up with that? So I know Coach McDonald's talking my language. I like this hire.
I think you're in the majority there. People are excited. So, Paul, as always, fantastic stuff. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we will do it again next week.
Appreciate having me. And, okay, Brady, let's find a tee time, buddy.
That's right. When the sun comes out, we'll do it. See you, Paul.
Okay. Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. Paul Moyer, if you missed any of that conversation, it will be available on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Coming up, one trade has shifted the power dynamic in the NFL, and we'll get into all of that. Coming up with Wyman and Bob, we got Brady Henderson in. We are live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, Scott Servais, manager of your Seattle Mariners, will join us from the road. He's got a cool event coming up. Want to talk to him about. And then at 4 o'clock, we got the John Schneider Show. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that coming up. Brady Henderson just went on walkabout. Just got up and left. Just left the room. I don't know.
So
what
he's
happened.
Filling in for Wyman appropriately.
I guess so. he just got you guys go 30 seconds and then he just got up and walked out. So I'm not sure what here he is. He comes jogging back into the room. Brady, welcome back.
Sorry about that. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's all right.
I think I thought that the Servais thing was right now, but that's actually in 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's coming up next.
Yeah,
that's coming up next. So Brady's back. We are live at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. We've talked a bit about the big trade that happened with Stephon Diggs going to the Texans. And just looking at how that shifts the power dynamic, it feels weird to talk about. The AFC, you always talk about Kansas City,
Yeah. Obviously.
Baltimore, the Bills have become part of that conversation. When Burrow is healthy, the Bengals.
Yep.
Texans were always this team we kind of made fun of. They were always kind of like, oh, yeah, Texans, what an organization that is. Now they've made a number of moves. They've got what looks like a tremendous young quarterback in C.J. Stroud. And then they bring in Stephon Diggs. Are they now in that conversation with Kansas City and Baltimore, or do you think they're sitting outside of it? Where do you put the Texans?
I think it's still Kansas City and then everybody else, but certainly they are up there, and you'd have to put them ahead of the Bills right now. I mean, the Bills, they look like they're in a reset, you know, without Diggs, their best offensive player. You know, Von Miller is getting up there in age. Yeah, I don't know if you consider the Bills in that category anymore, but certainly you would view the Texans like that, and they are making the kinds of moves, the kinds of aggressive moves that you see teams make when they've got that, you know, stud quarterback on his rookie contract. You know, like we saw the Seahawks do this a number of years ago with Russell Wilson. I mean, any team that you see hit on a young quarterback, you see them realize that, hey, you've got a very clear window that you've got to maximize before you've got to pay that guy. And you see teams get really aggressive in bringing in veteran players, and you're seeing Houston do that right now. They spent a ton of money in free agency on Danielle Hunter, the defensive end pass rusher. They brought in Joe Mixon at running back, Danico Autry as well. And there's other moves there that I'm forgetting, but that's a team that's loading up. And I think they do that because they realize they've got a young quarterback on, you know, even as the number two overall pick relative to a veteran quarterback, he's not making a whole lot of money. So they've got that salary cap flexibility right now.
That really is the window, right? If you land that quarterback, he actually lives up to their potential, the hype that comes with them. That's a great spot to be in. You bring up Russell, such a great example. He was even more extreme because he was a third round pick as opposed to a top five pick in terms of the money that was committed to him. But yeah, they're in a position where they can make big moves financially speaking until he receives his big payday. So when you look at the Seahawks situation, do you feel like, all right, they're going to have to find a rookie one day. Whether I don't know if it's Sam Howell is going to be the guy. I know he's only owed $2 million, a little over $2 million for his time that's remaining on the contract. I don't know if he's going to be an answer financially where he's going to be at the end of this contract. Do you look at the Seahawks and say, well, if they want to get back there, they're going to have to probably get in that position in one way, shape, or form again where their primary player, the most important player on the field is not being paid much at all?
I would think so, yeah. Or I mean, you know, maybe if you have that guy and if you really hit on him, maybe you can get there even when it comes to the point when you do have to pay that guy. But you need that guy one way or another. And I just don't know if – I mean, we'll see. They're going to give it another shot with Geno. I think, you know, what we've seen so far is, you know, they just haven't been able to get past the 49ers. And the 49ers have completely had their number the last few years.
And they've got a young guy who's making nothing.
Exactly. Yep. A young quarterback who's still another year away from getting paid. And so, I think the Seahawks, you know, whether Howell is that guy, I don't think they traded for him with a strong certainty that he is that guy. But I do know that they think that he can be a starter. And they think he's got that in him. And I think it's also interesting. You know, we heard an interesting comment from John Schneider at the owners' meetings a couple weeks ago in Orlando when he was talking about Howell. And, you know, he was honest about some of the turnover issues that he had last season. I believe Sam Howell led the NFL in interceptions with 21. Now, that comes with, you know, the caveat that he also led the NFL in pass attempts at over 600, and he was playing for an offensive coordinator that for some reason decided to throw the ball as much as he did. And, you know, the offensive line was put in a tough spot. Howell was put in a tough spot. But, you know, Schneider made an interesting comment about thinking back to his own early upbringing as a scout with the Packers. And he said he was around a young Brett Favre when, you know, Favre threw a lot of interceptions as a young player. And he obviously ended up being, what, a three-time NFL MVP. Now, Favre never really stopped throwing interceptions, but
that remained part of his game.
Yeah, Schneider's point was Brett Favre is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And so a guy throwing interceptions at a young age doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they don't have a bright future ahead of him. And I think to me, you know, whether it's Howell or somebody else, I think the interesting takeaway from that comment, and I guess the really money quote was he said, "I love the way he plays," Sam and Brett said, "I love the way that those guys play." I think that is the interesting takeaway to me there is that I think we are going to see a shift in how the Seahawks evaluate quarterbacks. You know, they're going from, you know, Pete Carroll obviously had final say as the head coach, and he was always averse to turnovers. I don't think that I don't think they would have made the Howell move under Pete Carroll because I don't think that Howell is a Pete Carroll type of quarterback, protect the ball quarterback. I think, you know, not that anybody wants a quarterback to throw interceptions, but I think there's, you know, when the quarterback has other, you know, strong parts of his game, you know, some people are more willing to live with some of those interceptions, believing that you can even those out over time. And I think that Schneider is more willing to live with some of those than Pete Carroll was. And now that Schneider is the guy calling the shots, I wonder if you're going to see them view quarterbacks a little differently.
Yeah, there's a lot we're going to learn. There's so much unknown with this team right now. It's going to be very interesting. All right, coming up, they're in Milwaukee, but we're going to catch up with Mariners manager Scott Servais. He's going to join us next as we continue here with Wyman and Bob. Brady Henderson in live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Looking to catch up with Mariners manager Scott Servais here momentarily. They are in Milwaukee. They've got the day off. Much needed day off at this point. We've got a cool event that Scott and his wife are a part of that we want to talk about. He's with us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. He is the two-time finalist for Manager of the Year, and he really got jobbed out of it that first year. I'm still not over that, but he's with us. The one, the only Scott Servais is here. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great from a blustery, cold Milwaukee today. How are you guys?
Doing good. Well, you're indoors. Stay inside there. It's dangerous. You don't want to be a part of that out there.
No doubt.
Hey, Scott, I'll ask you a couple things about the Mariners here in a moment, but you're part of something that's really, really cool, and I had the pleasure of meeting your lovely wife, Jill, out there in spring training, and she was running around with a dog, and it was funny. I was like, oh, my God, let me see this dog, and what's his name? And immediately she goes, it's Nelson. As in Nelson Cruz. Like, just right away. But talking to her about, animal. I'm a massive animal lover myself. As I say, I like them more than I like most people, and your wife seems to be in that same camp as well, and she's got something really cool that she's involved with, you're involved with, coming up on the 11th of April, where you're going to have members of the team out there. Tell our listeners what's going on and what it benefits.
Yeah, my wife's been a huge, really involved in animal welfare for like over the last 30 years, and over the last few years, they've just realized a huge need for support throughout the state of Washington, but especially in Eastern Washington. So she's grouped up with some gals that started a nonprofit called Team Okanagan Animal Rescue. And they've got a huge spay neuter clinic coming up, and to help raise some funds for that, we've got an awesome event coming up on April 11th. The name of the event's called All Paws on Deck. And I'll be there along with J.P. Crawford, Cal Raleigh, Rick Riz. But it's over at Moss Bay Hall up in Kirkland. And it's a great opportunity for people to come out and meet a few players. Some great auction items going on. We'll have a little Q&A with the guys, and it should be a lot of fun. So, again, it's April 11th. It's an off day for us. So JP and Cal will be there. We've got some great auction items. One of the things we've got lined up is a fishing trip with Luis Castillo. I will play a round of golf with some folks. Hopefully they'll bid high enough and have a good time with them over at Chambers Bay. Couple of our pitchers will go out on a cruise one night on a yacht that I've got set up off of Lake Washington. So it should be a great event. Folks can sign up for it or look for it online at givebutter.com/allpawsondeck. And hoping we get a few more signups and get some people to come out.
Again, that web address is givebutter.com/allpawsondeck. And what a cool thing to have these guys involved, players from the team, obviously. But you went on one of those fishing trips with Luis, didn't you?
I did. I've done a couple of them. We did one up in here in the Seattle area. Then I went down to the Dominican Republic this winter because after we caught some salmon up here, I had to go down there. And it was a great time. Luis is a different guy out on the water. He loves fishing. It's his biggest hobby. And he's got quite a fishing boat in the Dominican. It was a lot of fun down there. But got a group of guys who'll go out to do some fishing here up in the Northwest as well. So it'll be a great time.
So they can bid on that. They can bid on a round of golf with you. What kind of golfer are you?
I guess I'm about a 10 or 11 handicap, but love to go down to Chambers Bay. The guys down there have been great to me, and I've taken out a few groups in the past. It's a lot of fun just to get a chance to any questions anybody wants to throw at me. That's your time. And we'll have a few beers and play around the golf and really enjoy the day.
Oh, Scott, you're asking for it, man. You never know what some of these fans might ask you. I mean, you're really setting
Bring
yourself up here.
It's always starts. Everybody's really quiet about the first tee. And after we hit off the first tee, we start walking out their balls and saying, okay, boys, let it rip. Now's your chance. You got 4 hours. Whatever you want to say, let it rip. And it is a good time. Guys enjoy it.
Oh, that's, I mean, again, such a cool event. And does everything, the cost of the tickets, the price in terms of what they're bidding on, all of that money, everything goes to Team Okanagan?
Yes, everything goes to Team Okanagan Animal Rescue. And it's they've done a lot of things in just a little over a year that they've been together and trying to help out rescues throughout the state of Washington. But like I said, especially in Eastern Washington, where there's some areas that just don't have the resources. And, animal welfare throughout the state of Washington is kind of in a mess right now just because, everybody went out and got, dogs and cats during COVID. And then people realized, maybe that wasn't the greatest fit for them. So, the rescue is trying to pick it up and help out. So it's really for a great cause, and they're making some headway. Still got a ways to go, but events like this really help.
Now, have you always been an animal guy, or did Jill kind of bring you into that? How did that develop?
Yeah, it's that Jill has great passion for it, and she says how I talk about baseball and sports is how she can talk about dogs. And it really is, and it's just our players really enjoy it. And, the team dog Tucker came from a rescue over in Okanagan County. JP's got three Huskies. Ty Francis adopted dogs from rescues in Eastern Washington, a number of our players. So it is something that's really near and dear to myself and my family, but our team's kind of into it too, so it makes it fun. And if anybody's ever been around our clubhouse at all, you'll see Tucker roaming around there, and the guys really enjoy him.
Has he opened up to anybody in particular? Because I know he's very particular about who he lets pet him. He's friendly. He'll come around you, especially if you've got food. But when you reach to pet him, he's not so agreeable.
Yes, I've broken through with Tucker, but he knows there's a little roll of Girl Scout cookies I keep in my desk, and he knows exactly where they're at. So that's why I've been able to break through with him. But it's fun. Like I said, he is roaming around, keeps the guys loose, and it is important to have a distraction throughout the course of a long season like we're about to embark on.
Yeah, somebody made it. I can't remember who it was out there, Scott, at spring training, but he ran by, and we were talking about him, and I wish I could remember, but he said something about, I want that dog to love me so badly because I thought that was hilarious to hear that, but he's just, he teases you. He teases you out there. Yeah. Again, we're talking to Scott Service. He's got a really cool event coming up, All Paws on Deck. It's happening April 11th at Moss Bay Hall. It's in Kirkland. You can get all the info you need. Go to givebutter.com/allpawsondeck. All this money goes to such a great cause. I wish I could be, it starts at 6:00. I'll be on the air, but I can still buy a ticket, make a donation, right?
Come on over. Yeah, it'll be great. Like I said, they'll have a little Q&A with JP, Cal, Rick Riz will be over there, and get a chance to sign a few autographs. And again, there's some awesome auction items there to help support the cause. So hopefully we'll see a lot of folks out there.
Good deal. Hey, quickly, just before I let you go, you guys got the day off today. You're hitting the road for the first time this season. I would imagine, just in light of how things ended, with the homestand, a day off comes at a perfect time. Is this a situation you look at and go, you know, these are the times it's kind of good to get away? Everybody's sort of bonding on the road together?
I definitely think so. And I even felt it last night on the airplane. Guys, I'd like people to realize how much turnover we've had in our roster. And it's something I talked about early in spring and haven't mentioned much lately. You know, our opening day roster, 26 players last year in 2023, only 8 of those guys are back. And there are core players and you know, some younger guys. You know, we kept all our pitching staff together, but we've had quite a bit of turnover. And, you know, I expected us to maybe come out of the chute a little bit quicker on that first homestand. It didn't happen. But I mentioned in the post game the other day, it is such a long journey that we are on here through the course of the season. And, you know, there's no magical steps. You do this and then this happens. There's going to be some bumps in the road. And it's going to take a little while for this group to figure it out. But I said it leaving spring training. I still believe it today. We have a very talented team. We haven't played well. I thought yesterday's game was not a good game by any means. And our guys realize that. We need to get better, more consistent offensively. But hopefully the road trip helps. We're playing good teams. Obviously, Milwaukee's off to a good start here. Then we go to Toronto, teams that are very capable and teams that will be fighting for the playoffs here when we get to the end of the season. So, but it's an opportunity for our team to really come together. I was just coming in here, and I saw about 10 of our guys going out to dinner tonight. Those things are important. Start spending time together away from the park, getting to know each other a little bit more. And hopefully, you know, like I said, our team will come together on this road trip.
Well, there's only 155 to go, Scott. I mean, time's running out.
Yeah, I tried to explain it the other day, and I think sometimes, you know, folks, they understand the length of the football season a little bit better. And, you know, when I was thinking about it after the game the other day, we're at like halftime of the first game of an NFL season. That's
right.
Where we're at right now. So yeah, we've got a long length to go, and it really is a journey. And, you know, you never know which way it's going to go. There's going to be ups and downs throughout it, but again, I believe in our team, the talent that we have, the experience that we have, and it's going to come together. There's no doubt about it.
Well, again, just for people that are just tuning in, the event is happening April 11th, 6 p.m. at Moss Bay Hall. It's in Kirkland. It benefits Team Okanagan Animal Rescue, a really, really cool charity, cool event, I should say, that Scott and his wife Jill are involved with running this whole thing. Scott will be there, J.P. Crawford, Cal Raleigh, Rick Riz. You can bid on some really cool items, including a round of golf where you can pepper Scott with a bunch of questions. It's all right there for you. Go to Give Butter, givebutter.com/allpawsondeck. It's all for such a great cause. Scott, really appreciate you taking a few minutes. Love that you're doing this. I'm such a huge animal fan, so I'm really glad you're doing this, and I wish you the best with that, and certainly the best on the road, and we'll talk to you when you get back to town.
Sounds good. I appreciate you guys having me on, and I know everybody keeping an eye on us here on this road trip, and we're looking forward to having a good one.
Best of luck out there, Scott. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Take care.
There you go. There's Scott Service out there in Milwaukee. They got the day off. They get back to it tomorrow. All right. We'll keep the good conversations going. Seahawks President of Football Operations and General Manager John Schneider will join us next here live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center at Seattle Sports on 710.